Wonder Woman soars past $300 million globally, satisfying critics and audiences alike. And next, she's set to wrap the lasso of truth around the mummy. And Superman saves a turtle, today on DC Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
So much more fighting on this show.
I don't know whether you just knocked that screen so that DC went away, or whether it was like that. But you hee-hawed all the way over to DC.
Full Adam West Batman happened.
It came off as full Adam West, but it was meant to be young Diana.
That made it, you know,
my favorite part of Wonder Woman.
The littlest Diana or the middlest Diana?
The youngest.
The littlest.
The really littlest one. When she's ready to go, hoo-ah! She was my favorite. Welcome, everyone, one and all, to DC Movie News. We're here to talk about the fabulous success of a little film called Wonder Woman, many other items in the DC universe. Let me introduce you to this fabulous panel returning to the show. She's a semi-regular. You love her. You know her. She's a Wonder Woman in her own right. Elena Jordan is here.
Hi. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for coming back.
Elena, how many times have you seen Wonder Woman?
I've only seen it twice.
Only twice.
I need to step up and see more. I should have just gotten the gold card.
That's right. What is that, like $100
or
something?
It's like $100, and you can see as much as you want.
But
I might still do it.
3D, you can do IMAX.
Anything you want.
I kind of think I might still do it.
Wow.
I think it might be worth it.
Well, you're doing your part for its global cum, that's for sure. Next, we have the crown jewel of the DC Movie News universe. Roxy Stryer is here and dressed in black.
Adam, how long do you think we can milk it where we talk about Wonder Woman for the majority of the show? Like, how many weeks can we do that for? Because we had no show for so long. We had no movie. Like, we can use this for at least...
I think 6 weeks.
Six. Our surprise guest is saying 6 weeks.
Okay.
I'm
thinking like 3 months.
I'm thinking, yeah.
Well, just
like
think of how much legs we got out of the films that were financially successful, but like very divisive among fans and lambasted by critics.
8 weeks, it'll be out on DVD, so you can jump another 3 or 4 on there. So maybe longer, actually.
I'm just going to keep talking about it. Anytime anybody says anything negative,
Wonder Woman.
Well, listen, we've been around for a long time. We've had plenty of sand kicked in our face by the other competition.
It.
And we like it. So now that we've got a movie that is making people happy,
we took that fight to the beach.
We're happy to talk about it. We sure did. We took them to the sands of Themyscira.
In our face, and we'll
but not Baywatch.
We have one other surprise guest. Fans of the Schmodown might recognize our next guest from a somewhat controversial victory in the Inner Geekdom Championship. What you may have not have seen on that show was that there was a behind-the-scenes handshake bet for hosting show Pink Slips, and unfortunately, the new host of DC Movie News, Coy Jandro's here. Coy,
I mean, hey, you gotta win by an inch or a mile. Winning's winning. So,
gone officially.
That's it.
That's what I was told. I mean, I was not behind the alley where this sort of shady business. I was there to support Mike, as you saw with you, Roxy. We were there, and
you were
Johnny.
Doing a lot of listening.
I was doing a lot of listening. Yeah, I was trying to convey myself. You know, something about my lederhosen made me the strong, silent type. I
stripped him of his bat suit, like, in the room. I was like, mine now! Mike killed, man. That Schmodown was amazing. Mike, like, owned that Schmodown. So I give full Mike credit live on air. I was flabbergasted throughout the fight. And then Puddin just happened.
I just can't believe that final moment.
I can't believe it. I've posted everywhere on the internet I can going, Mike's the champ, I won the last question. Like, I want it very clear that I love that fight and I am excited to go back and do it again.
You can't change the rules of the game. The rules of that particular style of Schmodown are such that, like, points, being up a lot of points doesn't really help you. And that's just how that game is played. But watching it from the audience, it was so exciting because it was like, he was beating you at Marvel.
Right.
And then everybody else got eliminated except the host of Marvel DC. So it was like a mini Marvel DC showdown. And then Mike beat him Marvel. I'm like, beat him at his own game, and then that happened again.
And it turned, and I just like I want to give full respect while he's not here. I was hoping to see him here and I have a handshake moment, and he's not here, and I'm like, well, great fight. I'm excited for more.
Do you think he didn't show up because you were coming?
He thought I was here.
And
he's like,
no, I thought it was a permanent change.
Oh, right,
I didn't,
that's it.
Pink slips.
That's what we're going with.
But yeah, exactly. It was pink slips.
I'm the 10-second card. Like, that's how many Fast and Furious references will be in the table?
It does feel like a Fast and Furious kind of thing. Anyway, I'm very happy to see you here. I know I'm a big fan. You've let me be on the Marvel show before, and I know you've been a huge fan of Wonder Woman going back a long way, so don't think that this guy's a flip-flopper. He's been pro-DC and waiting to be satisfied by Wonder Woman for a long time.
I want Bloods and Crips to be together, man. I want this bond. I want the love. I want we're all comic fans.
It is interesting timing, though, that now you want to come over to DC to talk about it. You didn't want to talk about BVS with us.
If Man of Steel was around, I would have happily been here. So let it be said that two of four, halfway, I would have had plenty of zeal and happiness to talk about, and I'm here, and I'm excited, and I want unity.
Adam and I had to suffer through a whole lot to get to this point, okay?
I'm just saying for 3 years I've said unity.
Listen, well, hopefully
watch the tapes.
Hopefully we can have a comeback, and we can get a team battle going soon, and we can get a full DC versus Marvel or something like that.
Something like that.
Anyway, obviously the talk of the town, the talk of the world is Wonder Woman. How about Patty Jenkins? No better, you know, I mean, no better, like, just what a representative she's been. Like,
and I love everything she's saying to everything that's happening. Like, all of her comebacks are brilliant because for the most part, if you're not a complete piece of crapola, you like this film. Yeah. There's the people out there, though, that are like, this is cheesy. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm sorry. Did I say that right? Did you say cheesy? Oh, doing something good with the world? Oh, and everything she says is like priceless and brilliant. I love her.
Because she knew exactly what she wanted to make going into it, and she made exactly that. So she has a lot to stand by and be proud of, so she can kind of add a little bit of zingers in now, because she has the work to back it up.
Yeah, I totally agree. Some of the best post-coverage I've seen. Like, it literally like was like, they knew how good it was, so they were like resting on their laurels to pounce out and be like, this, and this is what we meant to do, and we did it, mic drop, and now just sass. Like, and they deserve to have that right.
And they were going to let no man tell them otherwise.
No, man. And we're going to talk more about Patty Jenkins a little bit later on the show. First thing, you know, we're heading into Wonder Woman's second weekend. It's been performing strong. She's soared past $300 million globally, as we said, which is great. Earlier in the week, it was the biggest Tuesday.
It was the second biggest Tuesday for a live-action film, and the fourth biggest Monday in June for a live-action film. So these were
second only to Jurassic World.
Yes. So these are for June Tuesdays.
And what
which is
really,
like, whose job is that? Whose job
realizes is Tuesday in June?
Like, somebody sits there every day of the week and marks every film that's ever been.
And they're getting paid. You know, that's like a job. Like, someone's like a studio job being like, well, there was that 12-cent inflation.
It's pretty awesome. And, you know, what that really just says is all these little details and little records mean is that the word of mouth is making the film perform better. It has legs. And, you know, people wanted to see it earlier in the week. I was in a midday Tuesday showing yesterday with my parents.
And you said semi-full.
Semi-full. Like, really full for 3 p.m. on a freaking Tuesday. Like, I couldn't believe it. So, that's no surprise.
Wait, we can't just sneak past this, though. So, your parents went with you.
Yeah.
To the movie.
Yeah.
And they felt what kind of way about it?
Oh, well, my mom, Sandy, I wanted her to be here today because she's still out in California. And she said, I loved it. I loved when they were, I loved them, the ladies fighting on the beach.
Oh, right, that part, yeah.
I loved the little girls that played Diana. They were both wonderful, and
I
she said, yeah, and she she loved the Amazon. She loved it all. Mom loved it. Dad loved it too.
He didn't have as much to say though.
He's kind of the quiet guy. The mom is more the talkative one in the house.
And they like fully understood. There was no questions.
Oh,
like,
yeah, they see everything too. They see every movie. My parents. So
it did a great job explaining the universe because it was fun for me as like a diehard Marvel guy. Every time I see a Marvel movie, I'm constantly scanning for Easter eggs. I know Wonder Woman, but I don't know as much about Wonder Woman as I do about Marvel. So it was cool to be an objective comic fan and get to experience the movie like the average moviegoer. I got to be like, I don't know who that character is. I'm excited to find out more. And I haven't had that since Iron Man. Like, it was really exciting for me.
You know, the interesting thing too, what I find with DC is that the origins have gone through more iterations than some of the Marvel ones. And part of that is just by virtue of the fact that Marvel is younger, but there's been rebirths. There's been crises and they've changed a lot of the origins. So
crises.
I believe it's crises.
It is crises.
So they picked and chose, like, you know, and using the fact that she was sculpted from clay as more of a story to tell young Diana. So they included that origin. Mm-hmm. But then they said, our mythology is going to take this stand that she's a demigod. And that's a fact. And she doesn't even know her power. And, like, when I saw the film the first time and I thought, like, her powers are very nonspecific, the second time I thought, like, you're experiencing me as the audience as she is, too. And that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what do you think now about powers? What do you think's going on with this? And what do you think's going on with the flying? Is she soaring? Is she jumping?
I don't think she's flying.
Okay.
Okay, because she never extends the arc above.
It's the downwards motion.
She stops at the peak at the end of the film.
She glides.
So, yes, she glides.
It's like a big jump.
And maybe
glide.
She will eventually
like a Jessica
fly.
Jessica Jones type situation.
And I was thinking Jessica Jones means Hulk. Like
Very much like Hulk.
When Hulk leaps, but with, you know, grace and finesse, like Diana would.
Three and a half miles, according to the official handbook of the Marvel Universe.
I was like, roughly about that. Mm. So who knows who can jump farther, a Hulk or a Diana?
It's like sugar glider style.
As far as the powers, I think that this is, and true to Diana's spirit, I think when she does this thing, I don't think she can generate that out of nothing. I think it's all about re-diverting the force that's given back to her, like a super Aikido, right?
The Hadouken of DC.
The Hadouken! That's what exactly. Thank you.
Yeah, I get that for you.
That's how I interpreted the powers upon a second viewing, and like, and still growing, yeah.
Physics, matter
can. Yeah, because when she gets it from a god, she can give it back to a god, and when she gets it from an Amazon, otherwise, but the god punch would have killed.
But the question people have about it, though, Adam, is it in the cuffs, or is it in Diana?
I think it's in her, and I think they're mystical bracelets that harness the power there.
If she wasn't wearing them.
Maybe it's like Cyclops without his visor, I don't know.
I got more of a vibranium vibe. I got like the, you know, Wakanda absorbs all kinetic energy and resends it. So I got that she was the only one that could control it, but the gauntlets are what was able to distribute it.
I think that, I think it's somewhere
in
there.
I'm in on that.
You're in on that?
So many geek references.
What do you guys think? I don't know. I think it
makes sense if it deflects bullets, then it would be that's what absorbs energy. Mm-hmm. And then her as a demigod is what then
can really release it.
Because if one of us was holding those, we would have been knocked down. We couldn't have possibly handled the force. She handles the amount of energy and then was able to
How great is it that we're geeking out about the Wonder Woman movie after having seen it multiple times, by the way? Like,
so cool.
Let's just say that. Oh, by the way, moving on to the next weekend, we're talking about box office, talking about numbers. Wonder Woman's about to open against the Tom Cruise freaking relaunch of Universal's oldest movie franchise. I mean, the monster movies are the original movie franchise. They're trying to relaunch it, and Wonder Woman is about to crush it.
I am so upset that Mike didn't show up for this debate. I put this I put this in the motherfucking rundown.
But Tom Cruise, I'll be Mike, but Tom Cruise is the biggest star in the world.
Oh, is he?
Tom Cruise is the biggest star in the world.
Okay.
Tom Cruise, though.
But this is what Mike's...
I love you, Mike. I'm not trying to throw shade. Mike, you're my champion.
Mike's argument this whole time, because he was saying to me, because I think The Rock is the biggest movie star currently in the world, and he thinks it's Tom Cruise, and his response to me this whole time has been like, but Tom Cruise is going to sell this franchise like no other. Could The Rock do that? Is Tom Cruise doing that? Because I'm pretty sure the mummy's about to get slaughtered.
But Roxy,
how'd Baywatch do?
It didn't do very well, but that's not what it means anymore to be a movie star.
I think Tom Cruise is the last classic movie star. Yeah. I think The Rock is the biggest current movie star, and the difference
biggest
between classic...
Yes.
It's like Silver Age, Bronze Age comics. Silver Age is when you can open a movie. Bronze Age is when you're just very important to movies.
Tom Cruise is a way bigger movie star in general, but not currently.
Listen, if this mummy movie was spectacular, I think Tom Cruise's presence makes it go... mega, colossal, global, nuclear. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, there's a blockbuster every week. And like we're seeing like franchises like the Pirates franchise, the Aliens franchise, a lot of these well-known franchises, if they're not producing, people are really dialed into Rotten Tomatoes and word of mouth right now more than ever, to the chagrin of The Rock and the people that are bombing bigger than ever. So which I think only helps us as audience members. You know, I want The Mummy to be amazing, but there was nothing I saw that made me think.
$120 million shouldn't go to waste, ever.
Double eyeballs. You got to give me something better than double freaking irises.
And Rolling Stones used again.
I did like that, though.
I loved it, but that's the problem is I leaned into it. I was like, oh, now I'm interested because the Rolling Stones are here.
Exactly.
I have a bad joke coming right now.
Tell me, go.
Something about if we invented smell-o-vision and we smelled what The Rock was cooking and going to the movies.
It would be a foul.
I hadn't finished it yet.
I like how you set up a joke, prefaced the joke, delivered the joke while assembling it, didn't have a punchline. I think this will be a joke.
I knew it wouldn't go well.
This is cool. It's like that show I'm dying up here. You can see the joke construction.
Yeah.
There you go.
So anyway, so I mean, it's exciting to see, and I think what's really going to determine, you know, Wonder Woman's big, you know, if it's going to cross over to that $700 million, mm-hmm. which is kind of like the high bar right now. Man of Steel approaches $700 million. Suicide Squad is in the mid 700s globally, and BVS is in the mid 800s. This weekend, if it performs that well, I gotta think,
duh,
you're going past Man of Steel.
Yeah, baby.
Oh yeah, I think definitely.
Which means Wonder Woman's better than Superman.
You know, I'd which like character to see, was that?
Because I'm dressed, sure, I'm
you're dressed sure. Like, you look almost like Ursa. So can I hear you say Superman?
Superman.
Yeah, it's kind of.
Is that good?
I like it. I get the flavor.
Ursa-esque.
Cool.
I'd love to see a chart with all these, with the Tuesday June breakdown level of specificity. I'd like to see a chart of the movies where the studio was slightly more hands off because they gave the movie a high blockbuster budget, but not as much as another movie. So
yes.
Man of Steel had the $200 million range. X-Men gets 250. Deadpool had sub 100. Wonder Woman had 150. I want to see a chart where when the studios let the creatives have more control by giving them slightly less money, how much better the Rotten Tomatoes score is. Deadpool, Logan, Wonder Woman, three best of the best superhero movies are because we let the fans speak and we let the characters have arcs.
So I want to see. We did that.
I'm saying we did that.
Yeah, me too.
I think so too. We have so many stories to get through. Yeah, we're going to try to get through everything. I'm sorry. No, we're just so excited. But I'm looking at this and like, there's just like a lot of lot of news stories. Here's a preview that I didn't see. Stand by. We're having some
just for video. We're having a video.
Okay, so we're not getting to videos yet. But anyway, so we had there was the preview for a film about the creation of Wonder Woman.
Yeah. So this didn't play before. Did you guys see this when you guys went to the theaters?
I didn't.
It played before 26 different.
Before either of mine. But
so it's called Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman. Wonder Women.
I'm so excited about this.
And it's about. I mean,
why are they only playing in select markets? And why wouldn't those markets be
Los Angeles?
Los Angeles, like, not to make us seem like the center of.
But where movies like where we get the and then they expand, like just how the system works. So I'm surprised we didn't get pre-expansion.
I don't know. Part of like what you saw the story was about? That it was like it's only playing in certain markets, or it's just a tease? I mean, it's made by a smaller production company, so I don't think they're getting it into every screen.
I think it's basically just pricing wise, it's a lot more expensive to do a trailer in Los Angeles because it is a market that
maybe
is. So I think it's because it's a lower budget movie, they just did it. But because we're all talking about it now,
but clearly it did.
I guess some it people. Did. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, I think part of what it is too is just having this at all, a little bit of buzz about it, mm-hmm. is gonna garner enough attention just from them releasing it in the smaller markets.
That's true.
Because it's about the creator of Wonder Woman and his wife who co-created it. And the big thing a lot of people don't know, too, he also created the lie detector.
Yeah, which is so amazing.
The lasso of truth came from.
Yeah. So, talk about verisimilitude.
It's amazing. I love that so much.
That just made me love the lasso of truth. I didn't know that until I read this thing. I'm like, are you kidding? And then I remembered maybe I had heard it once upon a time. And then they also had a third person in their love triumvirate, too.
Yeah, they had their lover that the two of them had together.
That
Olivia.
Was one of my first DC facts I was obsessed with. I love the fact that this dude's got like multiple women, which is like a secret identity kind of thing. Like a woman and a Wonder Woman, and then he's also a lie detector equalasso. Like this guy,
it's awesome. That's
Luke
awesome.
Evans, apparently,
I guess some people were kind of confused when this played, thinking it was part of because it looks like it's Wonder Woman. Thinking it was
it's
part
a little confusing,
of the film,
right?
Interesting.
Which that would have been an interesting thing
isn't
to be sitting next
one?
To somebody being like, "Was that the movie?"
Well, there's the Bill and Batman too, isn't there? Isn't there also one about the
Batman and Bill?
Batman and Bill, yeah.
It's on Hulu.
Excellent.
I gotta watch that.
Yeah,
I haven't seen
it's
that
really
yet.
Good. It's about Bill Finger and about how he basically was edged out of the creation of Batman when he created it, and so it's a really great one with Kevin Smith popping in, doing a lot of really good talking heads.
Because the original Batman
definitely
is very different
that.
Before Bill Finger came in.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
It's
and he finally is getting credit. Finally, now. Just now.
So we have films about... we don't really have a film about Siegel and Schuster yet, but we got like the Ben Affleck film that took place behind the scenes of the TV show, which was pretty sick. Are we able to watch videos yet, or should we just keep moving on with our non-video type stories?
I was trying to
moment?
Vamp for you guys.
We have a cool thing about Schuster.
We got to be able to eventually show that gal video, because she is the cutest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Just
she
her dancing is. Gifts in the Wonder Woman suit are some of my favorite things.
But here's an image. We have another one of our DC heroes we'll cut over to. We have Henry Cavill, who was sported a rockin' a coffee mug and his Superman costume. Now, I heard some people saying, like, oh, he's on the set of Justice League for reshoots.
I think he's hanging.
Which it could have been. This picture could be from a long time ago. We don't know that.
Isn't it so funny how, like, we as human beings will post TBTs all day and pretend we are, but when the second somebody else posts something, it's like, he must be there right now, exactly. Immediately. This is the life he's living. This is live.
It's so funny.
Yeah, this was this moment.
It was 2 days ago. It was not a throwback Thursday. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
It was that.
So,
a tossback Tuesday, perhaps?
A tossback Tuesday.
Do we have the image of that, though? We have the,
I don't know. He's not talking to us. I think we pissed him off, Anthony.
Do we got... We're flying blind up here.
Are you in there?
I feel
we're jumping and soaring blind. What's going on? We don't actually fly.
You tell us. Can we watch videos now or no?
No.
Okay.
Can we see the images? Cool. Can we check out the one of Superman with the coffee mug?
This is inside baseball, guys. We're going to cut this out. You're only going to get this if you see the live production.
Exclusive live feed.
This is, we go on both sides. So, I just loved how cool his boots look. I was really fixating on, like, man, those things are so carved.
They looked super fin-like to me, though. It was like almost like Aquaman came out and put his little touch on it.
Oh, all the mail, all the detail of the mail on that.
Do you guys go to Arclight and obsess over the costumes? Like,
oh my gosh, they're amazing.
The costumes are kind of my jam.
Dude, I didn't know from Wonder Woman that the lasso also was completely practical. It lit up on its own. That wasn't CGI.
Oh, really?
It was hand woven.
100% practical? No.
They augment brighter. But that way the lighting cues have all that right there, which is brilliant.
Damn.
Yeah. So it actually is the light that you're getting off of it. It's amazing.
It's pretty awesome if you're lucky enough to go to the Arclight out here. So there is Henry Cavill talking about it was like celebrating 79 years, right? Mm-hmm. 79 years ago that Superman was.
Yeah.
The pictures at the TriCast Faction wasn't able to read, so they can't really see it.
Got it.
It's here, but it's just not.
This is some exciting stuff for you guys out there, buddy. Is it not?
A Twitter-heavy show. We'll do some tweets. We'll send some videos. We'll send some pictures. Yes.
Good. DC Movies SK. Go there. We'll tweet out whatever you guys need to see.
So that's a good thing. But what a not-so-good thing that I think we should mention is that, it started with Lebanon not showing Wonder Woman, and now we're actually seeing that... another country, Tunisia, is suspending and potentially canceling Wonder Woman screenings.
I feel like suspension is code word for canceling. Yeah.
Well, I guess what it is like people brought a suit against the theater, and there were tickets sold, and people then like there is actually like a lawsuit against the theater to show it, which is just so foreign to anything I can relate to. It's pretty bizarre.
Right. Like, obviously, if you're watching this show, you probably have picked up on the fact that we live in America. The fact that this is a movie that anybody wouldn't want another human being to see blows my mind.
2017.
It blows my mind.
It doesn't seem like a modern problem.
And people are saying it's because, with Lebanon, a lot of people were saying it's because Gal is Jewish and Israeli and a former soldier.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's more than that. I think this has to do with females, with not wanting to depict them as so strong. There's so many different reasons, but I can't get over it.
Yeah.
Like, I just...
For a movie that is so all about love being the driving force for everything and love always conquering hate and adversity, especially when it's based on demographics, something as trivial as demographics, to then say these demographics are the reason that we're not going to let people see it seems so counterintuitive and so ridiculous that I can't...
Inclusivity. The movie's about including her team, like an actual Native American playing a Native American. Like, you have all these. There's even a commentary and he wanted to be an actor but he was the wrong color. This is a movie not only about women but about inclusivity of all types, colors, tones, sexes. The fact that it's being excluded in countries is so telling of like where we stand and how we're not as advanced as we should be, and it makes you like, appreciate
world.
What you have
as a world.
Yeah, not like as a country, but it's interesting where we stand in 2017 seeing this stuff, and like it makes you want to work harder. Like, it makes me want to do more.
It makes the movie almost resonate even more.
Yeah,
it was cool how proud Israel was of Gal and like everything that they put up all over the place and how they welcomed this movie with open arms. That was really cool.
I know this is kind of a heavy topic, but I just want to say the chat role, the people watching the show live right now, it seems to be for the most part, they think it's a dick move. They think it's clearly sexism, anti-Semitism, whatever your political views are on Zionism, on Israel. The message of this film is a very positive one.
It has nothing to do with that.
And, it's hard for me to even judge because I can't imagine living in a country where I can't see the movie. that I want to see. So it's hard for me in this world to even relate to that.
So they didn't like her costume because it wasn't American enough.
Right?
Like,
yeah.
I thought it was an Onion article. When someone posted that, I was like, oh no, that's the real life.
To be like, oh, you can't even see it. That is just that's a whole other level.
But even if she was American, which she isn't, but even if she was, like, what the f does that mean?
Your goals here.
Is my outfit American enough for you?
Like, who are you trying to?
And I was like, who's going to tell them that Superman is an illegal immigrant?
Yeah. Oh God. Don't let them know.
The symbol of America is inclusivity. Don't let them know.
Well, I mean, but then you had then people saying like, oh, well, you know, then Superman was a symbol of the superiority of Jews, you know, because his creators are, I mean, like, and then if you look at the original Superman was the Ubermensch, which was Lex Luthor, which was a villain. I mean,
there's so many layers to it, but you know, welcome your huddled masses on the Statue of Liberty can be misinterpreted apparently. So like, it's a whole thing.
Anyway.
Political DC news.
Let's move on to something more positive. And that is one of my favorite things in Wonder Woman was definitely the Amazons and their fighting.
Of course.
Antiope.
I told you I was bawling.
And, oh my God, Artemis and Antiope and Hippolyta. And now it's fun that everyone can pronounce these the same way because the movie said it.
Yes.
Still, I hear a lot of Hippolytas out there.
And I'm still hearing Hippolyta all over the place. And I'm like,
and Antiopes.
Did you see it? Yeah.
Get with it, people.
It's like a Harry Potter character.
But Robin Wright and Connie Nielsen are both going to be in Justice League.
Yeah, so we knew about Connie Nielsen, but we didn't know about Robin Wright.
Which now people, which kind of is a teller because for spoilers for Wonder Woman 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, one of those women doesn't make it out of there alive, which implies that the Amazons are shown in a flashback sequence.
Or in an otherworldly or a voice or like hearing somebody, but most likely flashback.
I'd love like a Ragnarok for Amazonians.
Yeah, dream.
Dream sequence.
Yeah, I mean, I have a feeling that like a lot of what we see is about the mother boxes. We've heard that the Amazons have one, that the Atlanteans have one, and that the Earthlings have one. So it just seems that there's going to be a lot of backstory, and I would think that you're going to see... you know, the Amazons fighting with Apocalypse, the hordes of Apocalypse for that mother box.
What I'm mostly excited about from hearing this story, though, is the fact that Robin Wright is coming back.
Yeah.
Just because
I
love
her. So good.
And the second that she, you know, just it was sad.
When she did those three arrows, man.
Man, that was a moment. Oh,
big applause in the theater. Applause breaks.
But it was so quick that she was gone, and I was like, this is...
Like, every time she speaks and announces cards, I'm like, give her a movie. And in this movie, I was like, give that character an arc. Like, I wanted more and more, and they gave her a full arc, and I was so excited they did.
Who was it that was telling me this was so awesome that somebody... Oh, Maude Garrett was talking to me about this, that she was like, my two favorite princes in my lifetime, my two favorite princesses have graduated to becoming generals. And she's talking about Leia and Buttercup. Princess Bride, which is like,
I live to see how my awesome. Two.
Oh,
my
that's amazing.
That is, become commanders.
Yes. That's incredible.
How awesome is that?
I like, when she's walking around, she's like, how is she doing? Work her hard. Yeah. Okay, keep it going.
Stars down her arms.
Yes, okay, like, keep it going. Yes.
Yeah. So good.
Oh, man. Anyway, but one thing that might put through some question, although I don't think it's a bad thing, is that it was earlier this week, everyone's like, oh, Patty Jenkins is already signed for Wonder Woman 2. It's a go picture. And then we
I
hear later
the
on in the week.
Of people.
Yeah. Everyone just assumes it was like, well, that might not be. Turns out Warner Brothers has a policy with these big kind of blockbuster films. If it's a first-time director on a project of this size, that they don't go for the multi-picture lockdown, and that's pretty much their model, and it's worked for them in the past. But now it seems like they're going to have to go to the negotiating table if they want Patty Jenkins. Again, what do you guys think that means for...
Good.
Patty's in a good-ass spot here.
Yep.
Patty can just sit there and smile and write down a number on a piece of paper and slide it over. Now, luckily, I think she's a cool girl and she's not going to do that. I think that she's like... probably a good person and she wants this project, but imagine if this was some mofo. Like, she could do whatever she wants right now and WB has to just be like, well, we're signing that.
Yeah, I mean, and the fact that she's doing so much goodwill and like all that, you know, all the she's such an ambassador of the film, like we're saying with Twitter, like literally every day, I don't know where she finds the time
she's so
to interact.
Active. Yeah. Like, she's on Twitter.
And
she
like,
is one of the most, because also seeing her at WonderCon, she was so interactive with all of the fans, like to everyone. Even when she was done with her set of signing things, she's like, no, I'm going to talk to everybody. She's just an amazing person.
What did I just see? Her liking and retweeting a picture of Mike Kalinowski. This is not a joke. This is not a... I'm not making a joke right now.
She retweeted a picture of Mike Kalinowski?
It was either Rocha tweeted it. So, you know, Mike Kalinowski, John Rocha, they're all like in this group of friends that all go see these movies here.
Okay,
you know, he has his group. And I think John Rocha tweeted it at Patty Jenkins or something, and she retweeted the picture. And I'm following her account. I see a picture of Mike Kalinowski pop up. I'm like, what the actual F just happened? Like, crazy. But yeah, she's super attractive. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think she's in a great negotiating place, not only, like, financially, and I'm sure she got a modest sum. She wasn't the first choice on this film. She came in after McLaren left. Mm-hmm. But also creatively, you know, she had a fight for a lot of things in this film. And I think in a future film, they're gonna trust her a lot more, yeah, because she gets it that spectacle is one thing, but really, if it's not about the heart of the character, it doesn't matter.
I think that's the biggest thing.
It's the biggest thing.
Now we're gonna have that's what I'm saying.
Logan, Deadpool, this. Those are the three examples for me of a character being a character.
We'll talk about it in a minute. That's the one thing going back to Dick Donner's Superman. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's all about grounding the thing in the world. You can't just say it's a comic book world and wouldn't this look cool? And Patty Jenkins gets that. In fact, one example of that is the No Man's Land sequence. My favorite sequence of the film.
It's half the people's favorite sequence.
It's like, the best.
When you walk out, even if it wasn't your favorite, if it was your second or third favorite, everybody's like, remember that scene.
Yeah.
That was one of the most memorable moments in all of DC history.
I think it's one of the most iconic images in movies in the last 10 years.
Right,
just barring superheroes, barring action, barring adventure, it's one of the most striking set pieces I can remember in movies.
Yeah. And I think that says something so much about how the director sees it and says, this is an integral part of the film. We have to absolutely have this. And then the studio is confused by it, doesn't really understand why she's bringing it in.
You're hiring somebody for their vision.
Right. And so the fact that it did make it to the movie and that the feedback has been so overwhelmingly positive, I think that is a huge, huge bargaining chip that she can use.
Did you guys
say Fandango? This was her quote that she actually said.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
It almost got
so the film, the scene almost wasn't in the film.
Right.
People were against it. And here's one of Patty Jenkins' quotes.
She says, it's my favorite scene in the movie, and it's the most important scene in the movie. It's also the scene that made the least sense to other people going in, which is why it's wonderful victory for me, which is interesting. She goes on to talk about it more. But yeah, everybody's been talking about how the scene almost was...
Which makes me wonder what was cut.
Because if that was one,
I want to see every frame of everything that this woman has shot. I want to see it.
Well, no scenes were cut.
Yeah,
we've heard that.
Right. So she goes on to say, I think that in superhero movies, they fight other people, they fight villains. So when I started to really hunker in on the significance of No Man's Land, there were a couple of people who were deeply confused, wondering, like, well, what is she going to do? How many bullets can she fight? And I kept saying...
She's fighting bullets, right?
And I kept saying, it's not about that. This is a different scene than that. This is a scene about her becoming Wonder Woman, which just shows us, like, what...
Which is a real...
Who are these people? Tell me about that fighting bullets scene.
It's literally a woman saving these men from themselves on and off screen.
Right. There's no enemy there. And I think what she's saying, like, this is the scene where she becomes Wonder Woman, and it's less in your face than, like, flying down to, like, rescue a falling airplane. It's like this philosophical thing. It's the first time she's going against the evils of men, and it's breathtaking. And she even talks about the few reshoots they did do was a scene before that with the horses getting whipped to ramp up the tension, and the people with their decapitated limbs to ramp up the tension to build to the moment when she sheds the coat and enters onto the field.
Because that moment is the moment. Like, the shedding of the coat on the battle scene, what would have you just have cut
I
to her, like,
to
in
see
the uniform?
It, though,
like, what would that
her
have been like?
Pregnant. When they were filming that scene
really?
The CGI. Yeah, did you not? So Gal Gadot was
that.
5 months pregnant when
that,
they filmed
that
scene. They cut, she wore the same costume, they cut a center piece out and then painted her belly green.
There was a green screen belly.
So they could green screen out her belly.
Good.
So I'm like, I have to see these behind the
scenes.
We live
in the future.
Just the most amazing thing. And Maya, her daughter, gets to grow up and say, I was in that belly.
Imagine being on set looking at Gal as Wonder Woman. Like, what a hillbilly version of Wonder Woman. Like, I'm sorry, but with a green painted, like, big ass belly. Awesome.
For me, I picture, like, what more woman
hanging
moments.
Out her,
like, literally, like, could you ever be more of a woman than being 5 months pregnant fight? Like, she's literally, like, that's like we're always like, you know, like, back in the day they had babies and they went back to the rice fields. This woman fought on the battlefield with a pregnant belly. That's, like,
while creating
the most
a life.
Empowering thing possible.
So, so that's incredible. So what does all this really mean for the DCEU moving forward? And we talked about this on the show, and now we're talking about, like, what is... what is Warner Brothers DC take from this? How do they move forward from their slates? This is all also to like, you know, what are the next films that are going to be greenlit? So what do you think is the effect of Wonder Woman? How is it going to affect the slate moving forward?
Well, there was this awesome article on Slash Film that was talking about the lessons they should learn, like you're talking about now. And I think some of the points were really good. The new sincerity that they were talking about, like how sincere this movie really is, embracing conventions while taking chances. Mm-hmm. I feel like this was a very classic superhero movie. This did embrace the fact that there was a beginning, a middle, and an end. There was a big bad. There was a lot of those conventions. But it was a new angle that we hadn't seen. So there's a lot of different things to talk about.
And then, you know, Mark Hughes, who we follow a lot in Forbes magazine, who's, like, written a lot of things, you know, back, you know, he's been writing about the DCEU for the past couple of years, as long as we've been doing this show, and he's a big proponent of Wonder Woman. And he wrote this article, which has been misinterpreted by many, as they always do, about how Warner Brothers, he suggested, is waiting till after Justice League to move forward. He later came back and said, no, that's not the case. It's just they're kind of pumping the brakes, perhaps, and not rushing into production on 8 films. Because you got to remember, Warner Brothers makes all Warner Brothers films. Mm-hmm. They're not like Marvel, which is a studio within Disney. Yeah. And even they only work on 2 a year, and 3 a year.
Yeah, 3 now. But they've ramped up to 3. Like, they had to evolve to get the system. Like, it's a well-oiled machine now. Like, it's not fair to assume Warner Brothers can do the same out the gate.
No, and they tried to maybe move too fast.
Fantastic Beasts?
Right. So, we know that right now it looks like Aquaman's going to be the only film that's going to happen in 2018 unless something gets into production really soon. And he's suggesting that that's not a bad thing. If we don't, you know...
You think that we could have another movie in 2018?
That's in 6 months. No, I don't. But it's still, you know, I mean, they just announced Hellboy or whatever like last month, and that's coming out in 2018, and that's a superhero film, you know, so, it, you know, the scale, I guess,
but
really
the
matters.
But the budgetary, like, a Hellboy needs to be sub $50 million, because otherwise they're going to go into it like, we can't make her, like, Hellboy needs to be contained.
And that's why they broke from Guillermo, right? Because he was like, no, it's $200 million, and they're like, no.
Whereas Aquaman is huge spectacle, Flash needs to be huge spectacle.
What about Gotham City Sirens? How inexpensive do you think we could make that for, if we tried?
If they focus on the characters, they can make it contained.
Yeah, they're not going to greenlight a film under $80-90 million. Like, I don't see them even doing a $70 million film at this point. Like, even Wonder Woman, which is estimated what $149 million budget, is relatively small to the size of the spectacle that it looks like Justice League is going to be. Right,
100%. Sirens, I think, will have the smallest budget of any of them that will come out. But I think that it will actually be a good thing, because I think that again,
it'll let David Ayer play with the world. And I keep going back to Deadpool. Deadpool costs like $12.
But still 70, right? Wasn't it about 70?
But like
they said. Because, like, basically had a little bit more of a standoff approach. That's why you're also able to get, like, Rob Liefeld cameos in it. You're able to get, like, these little references.
They cut an action set piece right before they shot. They didn't even know it got cut. Like, that's, like, they literally, you guys seen Deadpool recently?
Yeah.
You know the scene where he, like, gets out of the car and forgot his guns?
Yes.
They found out 2 days before they're going to shoot that they cut it. Like, the studio was like, no. And they're like, what do we do? That is what I think they're going to be working with DC for the Sirens thing, and that made a better movie. So if they can follow suit, we can get a better universe.
I also think that probably the biggest cost of that film is Margot Robbie at this point, and I think that she probably won't take a cut off the top because she's a producer on the film. So I think she'll probably...
And she's so passionate about wanting to have it created.
It's a back-end situation at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure she'll make a boatload of money off of it, but it's not going to count for their budget.
I heard somebody else point out how amazing it is that now, what the writer's room, the creative team looks like over at DCEU, all of a sudden is Joss Whedon, Patty Jenkins, James Wan, and David Ayer. And it's you know, it's kind of shifted away from Zack Snyder being like the one architect to now
multiple
kind of passing it over. And like, you have the influence of Geoff Johns. We're starting to get to that balance where
potentially Zemeckis. So,
yeah, I mean, listen, I can't wait till Comic-Con this year. I'm just freaking out by what's going to be announced at Comic-Con. Because whatever you think, it ain't going to be nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And whatever it is at this point. And the fact is, you know, Aquaman is shaping up to be the
kind of
thing.
Are you going again this year? We don't know.
I think I'm going to be there.
For one of your 16 outlets?
I think so. There was talk, I hope it happens, that I was going to be down there to do a job. So I hope that happens. And then for sure I'll try to obviously get into the Hall H. But I just can't wait.
Man.
I can't wait to see what happens. So in addition to that, to talking about how Justice League is going to be even bigger and bigger, Warner Brothers just announced or just launched this Unite the League global initiative to, for sneak peeks for promotions, for merchandise. You can sign up. I got the email. Did you guys sign up for this?
No, I haven't yet, but I will.
Okay, not yet, but I will. Another email I'll be getting. So yeah, I just feel like that.
What do you think about the timing of this?
I think it's right before Comic-Con for a reason. I think that's not a coincidence. We're like 4 or 5 weeks out, and they're like, oh, by the way, I think it's a little late. I think they should have done it pre-Wonder Woman, but I think that they weren't quite
well,
sure.
Well, but this is Unite the League.
Right, right.
This is a week and a half after Wonder Woman. We're like, now we're saying, like, boom, Wonder Woman is already off and running. Now we can start.
Boom. Yeah, that actually makes sense.
Also, Justice League is reporting to reshoot most of the summer. Not surprising, because you have a lot of people and a lot of schedules.
For 3-ish months.
Whoa.
Yeah,
so let's talk about this for a second. Let's
talk
about
this. They said definitely two, maybe three.
Chat roll, what do you guys think? Do you think that it's just a few scenes that Joss Whedon did? Do you think that after Wonder Woman, they're perhaps altering it, the film, even more? We know they altered the tone of the film after BBS. Yes.
I think no matter who you are, when you get a project that's been touched by somebody else so significantly, you have to put your spin on it. Mm-hmm. It makes perfect sense to me that they're doing reshoots for most of the summer. Of course. This was somebody else's project a couple weeks ago.
I wonder if it'll get the comma. Will it get directed by Zack Snyder and Joss Whedon?
I think maybe a with.
Yeah.
I think it's directed by Zack Snyder with Joss Whedon.
Out of respect alone, I feel like
I just 3.5 months is longer than I thought, and I want the my biggest goal is for my Marvel don't go, hey, what was Zack Snyder's movie? Hey, what was Joss Whedon's movie? Because that'll ruin the integrity of the thing they built.
Yeah,
like, and that's what I'm afraid of is the fact that the reshoots are so extensive, then people are going to be picking apart the scene,
maybe,
and then it'll become like a pissing contest.
But it says that they are expected to take place June, July, and could go into August.
Yeah,
I'm not surprised by that at all. As soon as they announced it, I assumed that there was going to be extensive reshoots, because why not complete the movie this close to when it was going to be released if it didn't already need somewhat of extensive work? It seemed like, you know, and I get needing to take time for your family, but
of course,
if you've already spent this many months
gearing back up to do something that extensive would be exhausting.
It seems like it is a situation where it needed some work, and that's why it was brought in. So if they brought in someone else and then there was a week of reshoots, then it would be like, well, what's the point? This is, you've got somebody else to polish.
You're 99%
somebody
done.
Else's work. It makes way more sense, I think, to have somewhat extensive reshoots that are almost the size.
Hopefully,
of
most of that time is just fixing Cyborg CGI.
That'd be lovely.
Like, I would like all of that time to be spent for that.
Were you guys confused slightly, though? I saw this in a couple different places and couldn't seem to get a grip on it. This was coming from Batman News, and they keep putting the word "significant" in quotes, but not letting me know who or where that was said. So it says, it's nice that we have a timeline now and we don't get too worried about the significant amount of work. Zack Snyder said himself that he hired Joss Whedon to write brand new scenes for Justice League, and then later on again, and changes will be significant.
I wonder if Batgirl's more integral? Like, do you think she's going to be involved?
Why
else would they be so specific about significant and Joss Whedon?
I just don't understand who's saying
who's
significant.
Who's being quoted, and why is it significant unless it's being ironic? And if you're being...
Don't do that in print. We don't get it.
I don't understand. And that's also not irony.
I just don't know whether
it's poorly
missed
written
an article
because
where
it's not a credit to anybody. It's a quote.
Here's what I think. I think Joss Whedon has got the blessing and ear of Warner Brothers and Geoff Johns, and I think everybody's on the same page.
You think significantly so?
I think significantly so.
Yeah, me too.
And with some sensuality.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that pretty much they're going to do whatever they need to do and spend whatever they need to spend to make the movie as good as possible. And I really believe that, and I think the movie's going to come out better for whatever.
All right, let me ask you, though, this time with some sensuality, you think we're sticking with the doggy style, or you think something with the lasso?
Well, if according to Professor M and the Wonder Women, I think the lasso would be significant, but that would be...
Significant sensuality.
I think that would be a fair amount of sensuality, not just some. Yeah. A lot of Justice League. We'll probably see some more of that over the summer, too. But, you know... Talking about bringing worlds together, Coy Jondro, host of Marvel Movie News, is joining us today. I was just kidding. Mike Kalinowski will be back soon. But two other creative heads.
I am obsessed with the fact that 45 minutes in, you made that announcement.
Yeah. By the way. Sorry. Spoiler. Jeff Johns and Kevin Feige took to the stage last night to honor their mentor, Richard Donner. I'm not sure if many of you knew, but Jeff Johns and Kevin Feige were both interns and worked for Donner.
Amazing.
Back cool. in the day, son. 17 years ago.
Donna making heroes.
I did not know that. That is the coolest thing.
So I actually heard about this from my lawyer, Jeff Cohn, who was famously Chunk in the Goonies movies, because he was speaking at this thing too with one of his other cast members. And then he said that Johns and Feige were going to be. And then I saw on the Twitter thing. And
I think they just call it Twitter.
On the Twitter
on
thing.
On the Twitter.
So you could see that there's, I think the Academy or whatever put this up. You can see Kevin Feige talks for about a minute and a half, and then Jeff Johns talks for about a minute and a half. And they basically give Donner all the props for being the archetype of the first and greatest superhero film origin story because of the word that Feige said he couldn't pronounce at the time that we talk about a lot, verisimilitude.
I love that they, like, the two voices of Marvel and DC spawned from...
Unbelievable!
Like, that's... Because Dick Donner's my child, like, our childhood, like, our generation's childhood.
Still top five movie for me. That first one, still top five comic book movie, yeah, that first
I
Superman.
I totally agree. And Lethal Weapon
Even
is my
now?
Pre-Marvel franchise. Like, so...
Right, Dick Donner, you said those are your two things.
Those are my two franchises.
Always a
Donner
huge Lethal Weapon
Lethal
fan.
Weapon is everything.
And he loves the show, too. It's kind of surprising.
The show's... Guys, please, if you get one thing out of this me being on this podcast, give Lethal Weapon a chance. but I really think that Dick Donner spawning the two voices in the two biggest studios that are superheroes is amazing kismet, because he is the Superman movie. Like, that's so much his voice.
That's so cool.
And the Goonies was, like, also, like, that's all, it's a superhero adventure feel.
I read an article the other day that was titled, Is the Goonies Overrated? Rude.
What? Rude. That should have been subtitled, Do You Need to Read This Article?
Significantly.
Unsubscribe? Is that what that article said? Because that's all I heard.
Yeah.
Goonies never say duh.
So that's pretty cool. It's pretty amazing. It makes us feel like, you know, we're all in great hands with the, you know, with these movies moving forward. Like, Jeff Johns turned out to be such a great voice in comic books.
I love him. Don't you want to hug him?
I want to hug both of them. Both of these guys have given me so much joy. I mean, like, Kevin Feige worked for years and years under Avi Arad.
Feige doesn't look as huggable. It's Johns' face that's so huggable.
He does. He's pretty cute. He's
like, and now, and Josh Brolin of the Goonies, the big brother, is now both Thanos and Cable. I'm just saying pretty the Goonies cool. and Dick Donner need all the credit.
Oh, my goodness. You're right. That's really so true. God, it just, man, they go in and out. If he's to be believed, Joel Kinnaman, in the latest case of an actor talking, said that Suicide Squad 2 could be filming next year. Which is basically no news.
People
but,
are really running with this could be. It could be filming.
A lot of things could happen.
I could be in the movie.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and tie that into the Goonies, too, by saying Mel Gibson directing that out of being in Lethal Weapon starring Dick, with Dick Donner directing.
Oh, yeah. It could happen.
It's coming back. Oh, everything's wow. the Goonies, you guys.
All things lead to Goonies.
What do you think about that, Elena?
I mean, I feel like everybody jumps on to any time that anybody says anything could happen, and they just... assume that means that it's a definite, and I feel like 90% of the time actors are blocked out and they're given time, so they say, you know, be available for this, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean that it's necessarily gonna start shooting.
Did you see his quote?
Yeah, so here's his quote. As far as I know, they're writing the script for Suicide Squad 2, and I think the plan is to shoot it sometime in 2018, but that could change. I think I'll definitely come back for it. Ultimately, I'd love for David Ayer to direct it, but if he doesn't want to direct it, then someone who is great with character and that's able to ground the story and maybe put these characters in a more normal situation.
Boom! There it is!
That's the buzz.
Would be really interesting to see these crazy characters interact with regular people as well.
The farm scene?
I get it.
Bit of shade.
No, just not like, you know, getting a team together and then them going through this, like, CGI godlike
space
situation.
Empty
city
together
with
just them. Yeah.
I think that there's a couple different interesting things about this quote. Number one, the fact that he really doesn't say when this is shooting at all, so
he
don't
doesn't
like,
know, so everybody jumps in and immediately is like, oh, well, you know, it's shooting. He said it's
he said June 12th, right? June 12th.
I love that content.
Number two, that he says he would like David Ayer to come back, but he also very quickly says that he wouldn't mind if somebody else joined.
Yeah, it's basically like, as long as I'm cast, I like that it's being made.
Yes, and then he throws a little bit of shade at the previous film. So
I just feel so bad for actors today, because they're going to get asked this 100,000 times, and anytime they respond at all, everyone jumps on it. And this guy's literally like, I'm not sure. And everybody's like, but what if June 12th? Like, it's so, like, he can't talk with
us. Honestly, though, I like what he says, because I'm fine if Air and Margot Robbie go off for Gotham City Sirens, because as much as I like Harley, I don't buy her as part of this team. Yeah. Like, I don't see why she's on a military strike force of these unusually powered people. Except for the fact that Harley Quinn is so powerful, and that's why she's in the movie. Not because it makes sense. That's why she's in the movie. So I actually love these comments.
Yeah.
And I would love to see another Suicide Squad movie, because I don't think they'll make the same mistake twice.
Mm-mm. And the team's great.
Especially
and
like not if it's David Ayer twice. He has said many times, like, I'm learning.
And Jai Courtney, like, the cast they assembled is great. And the ability to make Will Smith, like, what they could have done.
We didn't get anything with Jai Courtney's potential greatness. Like, it was just a lot of setup, and then there was nothing.
Every time they showed him, it was like, more of that. And every time Will Smith got to start doing something, I'm like, more of that.
I agree. Yeah. I don't always like Will Smith, and I loved him in the role.
I like the movie.
Like the movie, which is great. And listen, the movie was very successful.
I liked it.
We disagree, and I think that's indicative of a lot of people's feelings of it. There are a lot of people that feel like I do, and there's people that feel like you do.
Talked better than BVS.
Oscar winner Mel Gibson directing Suicide Squad. Can you imagine what the scope of that movie could be?
Stop! Get out of here with the Mel Gibson.
The Mel Gibson's important. No. It's the most recent news that I know about the director. Has there been another director rumored since?
No, not other rumors. I will say, not sure how I feel about Mel Gibson. Do like that heartbreak. What was it? Not Heart Attack. Heart Attack Ridge? No, Bone Chainsaw.
No. Hacksaw Ridge.
Hackbone.
It was a really good film. Ridge. It was a great film because he's a great director and a shit person.
I'm not going to watch Harley Quinn Sugar Tits. Like, I'm not watching that movie. I'm not.
It's not Roman Polanski.
You should shut up, Harley.
Not doing it.
Did you guys know that Zack Snyder also had a cameo in Wonder Woman?
It said that this had been talked about, but I don't remember seeing this ever.
I saw it a while ago. I do remember saying this black and white picture, but then you can see he looks really authentic. Mm-hmm. He's got some big guns, and he has a cool cameo. I don't remember seeing him in the film, and I look forward to June.
I'm going to keep on looking.
All right, so we don't really know.
I'm thinking it must be the photo wall.
Oh, the photo wall at the end.
That is the photo wall at the end. And that his photo is there. It's literally a photo. So I'm thinking the only thing, since you're not seeing any footage of it, it's just the photo, that it's in the trenches with Wonder Woman.
Oh, maybe.
I feel like it's the photo.
That's a cool director
cameo,
too.
Yeah, and then it's just him on the photo wall, is what I'm assuming.
I like that.
Because then it's not too distracting. And
because we've all looked.
Yeah.
Anthony, we don't have video back yet, do we?
Okay, so cool. That's all. I guess that's really all we need to really talk about.
What? No, there's a couple other things.
What did you want to?
The Josh Gad thing, man.
Oh, Josh Gad.
It's just because you don't want it.
I don't care.
We already talked about him. We didn't talk about him taking an actual meeting with DC.
Did he? There's a picture with him. So there's a picture of Josh Gad
in front of the DC wall.
With Jeff Johns,
and he posted it and said, nothing to see here.
So you interpret that as he took a meeting.
I do.
The caption is literally like, I took a meeting to me. He's like, hey, that nothing is everything.
Nothing to see here 100% means look at this.
He could have posted a picture of a rubber ducky.
It could be something, but just like he's doing with the the Daisy Ridley videos, like he likes to...
You're calling Swerve. Yeah. You're pulling a Johnny.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I would find it very weird if this ended in him actually being cast as the Penguin.
I think he would be a great Penguin.
Me too.
I have to go back to that thing. Is like, what kind of Penguin? In what world? Like, I don't know.
He's kind of like a pudgy guy. Penguin's so black and white, man.
No, I mean, look, did you see how he is in the Telltale games?
Thank you.
Or in the Gotham show? I mean, or Danny DeVito. There's so many different kinds of penguins.
I agree.
He's a good actor.
I think he'd be great. I think he would be awesome. He was one of my favorite parts of Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
So I feel like he's a very dynamic actor. I feel like he would do a great job.
I think he's hilarious, and I think that'd bring a very interesting take
to
the Penguin. An ironic humor in the Penguin would be interesting.
Because the Penguin, it's not a character that you would take super duper seriously unless it's in a situation. Right.
Like, Always Sunny in Philadelphia's Danny DeVito is still the Penguin.
Exactly.
Like,
interesting.
You know what I mean? When I see the Always Sunny character, that troll
man. I
want to
know which Penguin pooped the bed. Like, it's
an interesting it's an interesting character to go with the humor of Josh Gad. And
I think it'd be great.
I love seeing comedians play dark. Look at Robin Williams. Look at Jim Carrey. Look at all these, like, famous comedic actors. When they go dark, you feel it because there's so much high. The lows are more depth. So Josh Gad being
a
light.
You've convinced me. That's my pitch. Believe Josh Gad is the Penguin.
I mean, before we get to my favorite time, other thing that I just wanted to mention, because we weren't able to watch it, Gal put out the most most adorable thank you.
Oh.
It was so sweet. She put out a video. She's wearing these big glasses. She's got no makeup on. She's the most beautiful person in all of the land. And she just put out the most heartfelt thank you ever. It was a short video, and she was just like, you guys did this. Wonder Woman's the number one in the world. I can't believe it. And thank you. And it was, I don't know, I hadn't seen something like that in a while. I thought it was really cute.
Is she in Israel when she's taking it? She's got a beautiful vista behind her. It looks like it could be Israel, but I couldn't tell.
It could also just be the Hollywood sign on it. It could be, really tell.
The majestic hills.
Yeah. I don't know.
It could be Bronson Canyon. It could be Israel.
But
it
was perfect.
But, so a lot of stuff to talk about. Very exciting. I'm sure we'll have more things to talk about. That's it. I guess it's time to leave and go away. For another week,
it's time.
Yeah, Rocky Strives TV time. Okay. Sing along with me this time.
Do we have
Rocky
to do this Strives again?
TV time. She thinks that the flash is fun. Both of them. Just, oh my god, that was so mean.
TV time!
Maybe Adam should be the penguin. He's so cold.
No, I'm just kidding.
I was unprepared for
what's going on. What's going on in the world of
all right,
TV?
So here's what's going on in the world of TV. Number one, we had the, because I have to just start with this, we had the Gotham 2-hour finale. Now, I know that I'm one of the few people out there that's still watching this.
Spoilers!
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Wow, I feel like I put extra syllables.
No, you're not one of the few people. A lot of people like Gotham. Spoilers. I think a lot of people have resigned to start just having fun with Gotham.
So this is, if you can look at it like fanfic, if you can look at it like a soap opera, if you can just take it for what it is, the show rocks. These 2-hour finales, I cannot even explain to you how many characters died. They murdered off everybody. Like, and then brought two of them back to life. So these are all spoilers. I'm going to just spoil it for you guys because I'm hoping you don't care too much.
Spoilers, spoilers for Gotham. Turn off now. See you next week if you care.
We kill Alfred.
Oh, boy.
And then we bring him back.
That'll stick.
Because we put this water on him that cauterized the wound and special something. So Bruce Wayne turns back into himself. We also kill off Fish Mooney for about the 50th time. But,
finally.
But she makes a speech while she's dying, addressing to fans that she knows she's died a lot of times, but this will be the last time.
She actually gives an exit speech.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
She literally says, I know I've come back many times, but I swear this is the last. Like, it was ridiculous. Then we kill off Barbara Gordon.
Final sentence is what an ex starts in your DMs
Yeah, Barbara Keane. Yeah, we electrocute her.
Not Barbara Gordon. Barbara
Sorry. And she.
It's Lazarus Pit, Lazarus Roxy. It's Lazarus Water. Yeah.
Lazarus. Okay.
It's Lazarus.
Oh, that makes more sense.
It was not the Lazarus Pit, though. It was like a weird because we're introduced to Ra's al Ghul.
It was the juice from the Lazarus Pit.
But like
it last juice though.
But that's what it looked like. It looked like you were literally taking like Aquafina and dumping it on
it
him. There
Lazarus
was nothing cool
toilet.
About it. It was weird.
Budget cuts.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Barbara Keane dies. She gets electrocuted. She looks bizarre. And there was that. And then we also see Batman. Like
early Batman?
Yes.
Proto-Bat?
Like, but he's homeless Batman looking because he's got weird black, like, I don't know. You'd expect dreads to be under
but
that.
But there's no bat iconography incorporated.
No, but it is like how the scene, what you picture to be his origins, we're watching it, except without, instead of him, it's a little girl, and you're like, what the F am I watching?
So Darren Aronofsky's, remember when he had that homeless Batman? With Big Al, with the
mechanic?
No, but
it looks like, it was more like
so wait, there was a little girl that was about to get mugged in the alley, and he stops that?
And he stops it, and he beats the crap out of this person, and then he goes all the way to the top of the building, and standing there. So there's that part
of
it.
No cape, though, right?
No, it's not a cape. But he's wearing a cowl, but not. It looks more like he's about to rob a store. It was bizarre. And then we also killed the other dude that I liked. And we gave his hand away. I forget his name, though. He's a bigger dude.
Oh, they gave his hand away. Yeah. Which one was that?
I don't know. You guys will tell me.
So it sounds like it was kind of like, you know,
this finale was weird AF, but I loved it.
Compared to the other DC
finales? I don't know where
we're
going from here.
There was a back signal like a cloud behind him.
Oh, I didn't even see the cloud. You can't like murder Alfred, man. And
they brought him back?
Yeah, but do you understand that Bruce Wayne murders Alfred?
Oh, I did not understand.
But it was clone Bruce Wayne, right?
No, it was real Bruce Wayne whose mind had been confused. And he stabs Alfred through the heart.
Alfred's gotten a lot. He's taken quite a beating this season. I'm a couple of episodes back, and he just got his ass kicked with an iron by fake Bruce.
Yeah. Does DC Butch, have Butch was if? That dude's name. His name was no. Butch.
Okay, because Gotham, whenever I watch Gotham, I see it as a what if.
Yeah, it's like what
it's
if.
It's the what if title.
And then I'm reading all these articles out there saying that they think that Lee is Harley Quinn and Commissioner Gordon is the Joker.
Oh, Butch. What the F someone is saying going on? Butch, who I guess who Butch gave his hand. Well, yeah, but he looks like he's coming back as Solomon Grundy, born on a Monday.
Maybe.
Died on a Tuesday. Wait, what did he do? What's the whole thing? Oh, damn it. I shouldn't have started that. Yeah.
Oh, what was cool? Another cool thing, though, was that Selena Kyle got her... We finally got her with it.
Lasso of Truth?
No, it wasn't Lasso of Truth. Everybody in the chat. Butch, Roxy. Butch. How could you forget Butch? Sorry, guys. Okay, so that was Gotham. Really, really crazy. iZombie, which Adam keeps asking for shows to binge, but yeah, he will
I don't
not
keep
watch
asking for shows to binge. I say I have too many shows to binge.
Adam's like, I have all this free time.
No free time.
So I know you're a little behind, so I won't do spoilers here, but I know you love iZombie. Which
so does she good. Eat the brains?
So good. She eats the brains for shizzle.
Spoiler.
But what right you have there. Seen, what you have seen in commercials is that we do get her ex-boyfriend back for this episode. I won't explain exactly how, but it's freaking hysterical. And they actually play Zombie by the Cranberries for the first time, which is awesome. Yay. In the funniest scene ever on song. This show, ever. It's so good. It's
I love
just
how they
so
saved
good.
That for a moment. Like, they knew everybody wanted it, so they're like, wait for it.
It was perfect.
Do you remember when they played Green Day, I Walk Alone in Smallville?
Oh, that was amazing.
That was, like, my favorite song in a TV show ever. That just reminded me
the
of that.
The closing songs
such a great
of Smallville
song.
Were always so strong.
They
I
had some really
so
strong
many credits. Like, oh.
Music.
Like, Lost almost,
yeah,
right?
Like, you leave, you're like, I want another week. Yeah. But that song got me.
That brought me back.
Yeah. Smallville's good.
Watch Smallville, guys. Let's get that season 11. Come on, let's make it happen.
Oh, because people are saying Harley Quinn. That's why Lee. Yeah. It makes no sense. She's not Harley Quinn, but she does go off.
Oh, that Lee? Lee is going to become Harley?
That's what they're saying, but it's just no way. But
is she still alive? Is Miranda Baccarin's character
she
still alive?
She is still alive, but she's just gone off because she just... They did this whole poison thing. It was a whole long storyline. She can't be there because now she's admitted to being in love with Jim. And
Deadpool
you know.
2. Yeah. Oh. Deadpool 2. Yeah.
Exactly. All right, so... People still, Butch, Roxy, I got it, it was Butch.
People are still asking, why is the Marvel guy on here? We explained that at the beginning of the show, inner geekdom, pink
DC.
Slips, keep
gone
up.
Now. I gotta start reading DC.
That's funny. All right, so yeah, and then those were the shows this week, but in news, we got our CWDC TV show announcements. We're starting on October 12th. I think Arrow is going to be the first one. I asked that like a question looking at Adam. He didn't have the answer.
Oh,
so.
I think one is October 9th, and that might
really?
Be Arrow. One is October 12th, I think.
11th. So that
I looked at it real quick.
So we're waiting until October, beginning / mid-ish of October. At least they're coming back.
Did you guys watch all Justice League Action? That was my favorite DC show this year.
Mm-mm.
It's just so good. 15 minutes, no commercial breaks. You get lots of fun characters. It's for children, but it's really good in the continuity, and they're good stories. I love it. It's like a palate cleanser between shows. So get on that Justice League Action.
All right, cool. That was time.
Okay, guys. Well, thank you. That was a packed show, wasn't it? A lot of fun. I apologize about the technical difficulties. You know, there's a lot that goes into making a big production thing like this. Like, yes, I danced and knocked off one of the screens.
It happened.
Yes, that probably had an adverse effect that affected our ability to show videos, but we try. Elena, tell them where to find you.
Hey, you guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. Oh, and I'll be at Amazing Las Vegas Comic Con in 2 weeks. So come up and say hey to me if you're there.
Cool.
Roxy Stryer.
I'm Roxy Stryer. You guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer.
Excellent. Way to clarify so that they know how to pronounce it and everything at the end. Way to bring it home.
I mean, if this is their first time tuning into the show, I already lost them probably. Yeah. So.
8 eyes and spoiler too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, our special guest, new co-host, he'll be here every episode. This is not just a one-time special thing. So if you don't like it, tweet at Mike Kalinowski. Tell him
you're
sorry about it.
Dwayne says you guys should keep Coy on the show. He is great. So sorry, Mikey.
Just make sure that you send Mike lots of cases of pudding. He really likes it.
Captain Dingleberry says I don't trust Coy and his mustache.
So all right, Coy. Besides this show, every week for the rest of time, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @CoyJandreau. I've been doing these little Insta reviews where I review whatever you guys want for a minute. So I want to like watch content, receive content, give comic recommendation, give book recommendation. So much fun. You can find me on Marvel on Tuesdays. And I also want to tell Mike that he's the greatest.
We love you so much.
I've been wanting to do the show forever. And I really like Wonder Woman was amazing. So I really love being here for this.
Love to have you, man.
And DC is incredible. So I want everyone to read everything.
Thank you, Corey. Mike Kalinowski, you can find him at Mike Kalinowski, at Johnny LaQuasto, who's off being funny somewhere, probably.
At Jay Quasto. Oh, yeah, he's on a boat.
He's on a boat. Oh, that's right. He's doing comedy on the water in like Alaska.
What state and or country are you in? He's like, I'm on a boat, dude. Anyway.
I'm Adam Gertler. Yeah. You can find me with my co-host Sasha Pearl Raver on FX Movie Download. I believe we're doing World War Z this Friday on FX.
I really like that.
Oh, yeah. No, it's actually pretty good. We do some cool behind the scenes stuff. And you can follow me online and Twitter and Instagram at Adam Gertler. I'll see you next time on DC Movie News.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.